from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome to Postcard from Back... I'm back, but my teeth aren't working properly. Is Eric Wiltshire here? I'll talk slowly, then I might be able to get somewhere. This is Postcard from Poprad. How are you? That's hard work, you know. I'm in pain, boys and girls, and nobody gives a monkeys about me. Anyway, over there in England, because I'm over here in Poprad, underneath the Tatry Mountains, it's a lovely day, actually. No, he's not in the UK, he hasn't got back yet, he's still in Spain, because they haven't agreed to let him back in yet, but if he pays money, they will do. Lee Banks.
Hello, I'm in Spain, you're in pain, I'm in Spain, and the rain falls mainly on the plane, which can only be Rachel, which is a terrible thing to say, and you led me into that.
I never did a thing.
Pain in Spain falls mainly on the plane, which is an insult to Rachel, and I apologise on your behalf immediately and unreservedly, right. Mr. Eric, particularly after what you were saying about a good friend of ours earlier on as well.
Yes. Yeah, we'll change subject. Hello, Rach.
There was rain falling in Melbourne today, but it was really good rain. It was rain with a purpose, rain that has reason.
It was great. Rachel. Yes.
It wasn't just rain because there's big tropical clouds that spit out big blobs. It was actual precipitous rain, and I really enjoyed it, and it was cold, and I turned the heater on, and it was excellent.
Oh, how sweet. Okay. Just remember, I'm on your side this week, Rachel, just because he's got his new teeth in.
I haven't got my new teeth in yet. That's the problem.
I haven't got any teeth in. That's the problem, isn't it?
No, I look like Jaws off of James Bond.
Jaws off of James Bond?
Yes.
The guy with the metal teeth?
Yes. And I'm sorry, terrible. That's why I'm talking with a lisp, dear listener, but I apologise in advance. Anyway.
He's dead, you know.
I nearly was last week.
Have you got his teeth?
Oh, I know. Where his teeth came from?
No, that's not where they came from.
They were donated.
Yeah, got dead man's teeth.
Do you know, if you're eating your tea now, listen away. He had to use a medical hammer and chisel.
Ow.
So not yow, couldn't he have just used an anaesthetic?
He'd already used bucketfuls of anaesthetic.
You're not supposed
nothing to
drink to
do
it.
With anybody being a fossil either.
No.
So. No, Rachel. And I'm on your side after what he said about you.
and the fact is, I'm the kind of bloke that when there's a medical program on the floor, I mean, on the television, I end up on the floor.
Why?
There you go.
I do.
I like embarrassing bodies and things like that. I think that's disgusting.
A little bit squeamish, are you, Uncle?
Well, I'm not squeamish. It's just because I'm not. If I've had to do horrible things like attend accidents and stuff like that, that don't bother me. But when I see a needle,
really?
It's embarrassing. But when they get all their downstairs apparatus out, and it's all like.
Funny.
Not like one you've seen before, yeah. Mm. Well, I've never seen one before. Well, I have. I must have seen some.
Are we sure we're in the right place for this programme? Considering where we're starting, a super gran has got a plant nearly as high as she is. Ho, 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 ho.
Bless her.
Bless her. Apparently, this lovely lady buys bird seed from the... Why is there so many S's? From the RSPB. so she can feed her birds. 25-kilo bags, this young lady, Patricia, buys. And she suspects that within this bag was some hemp seed. So, unknowing, this lovely old grandmother... Patricia Hewitson, who is, I'm not going to say her age, that's horrible, but let's just say she can get a bus pass. She's
only saying it because she's 66.
So she phones in to a BBC radio station and says, "Here, I've got this plant, I can't figure out what it is."
Yeah.
She gets asked to send pictures in, which she does. And the hysterical recording, which we're not allowed to play, of what went on afterwards is unbelievable because she finds out she's actually got a giant cannabis plant in the front garden.
I love it.
I love it to bits.
You know what? And they said they left it to her to destroy it, which I think is also really hilarious. So my advice, Patricia, is to burn it, but yeah, in a tent.
Exactly.
Burn it in a tent, love.
Do you know, yeah, on the television here once, they told people they were very proud that they'd located this cannabis farm in the mountains, and they were going to burn it on Sunday.
I know.
And people went to watch.
Yes. Down the wind of it.
The police said the same to me. This is a big cannabis raid. Like, I actually said something, just straightforward question. What do you actually do with it? Because I know. No, I can't say that. But I know what they do with it, right? Mm. And this copper said to me, he says, we're going to burn it. And I thought, well, that's what you've arrested them for, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha.
No, it's true. It's a true statement.
I know.
It's a true fact.
It is indeed. Now, Rachel.
What?
Yes.
Rachel.
Oh, I'm not Rachel, sorry.
No, you're not. Rachel, we are getting deeply worried. We will be talking about Darwin later in the show.
Yes.
Just to prove how stupid people are in the Northern Territories.
Oh, that's terrible again. Now, so nasty.
The trouble is, this disease of the Northern Territories seems to be spreading across the entire Australian continent.
Yes.
Because Jack Cooksey buys something, and what does he do with it?
Well, he drops it. Jack Cooksey is an A1 numpty. And what's he done?
I'm so proud of that, you know.
Well, I know.
I am so proud of that. I've introduced the word numpty to Australia.
Oh, I see.
I'm very proud.
He is an A1 numpty, this gentleman. He was the first person in Perth to own the iPhone 6 after queuing up all night, only to drop it as he was being interviewed by Channel 9. But it went doring. And it appeared to bounce. But why there's the disease of stupidity is spreading so quickly, particularly to the West.
Why?
Because they're all, everybody who's in Western Australia is English.
Oh! that means you as well, Lee.
I've just realised, sorry. Oh, I tell you, it's... Well, did it break, though? Did the phone break? Is it one of those bench phones?
Yes, it is one of the bendy phones, but it didn't break. It stood the test of dropping it in the middle of a mall.
Is that because it bent and bounced?
I don't know. I think actually it might have dropped on one of the pressure corners and he might have got lucky.
I think you're looking at the video, he did. He was a lucky bunny.
I can tell a true story about that of me and Mr. Wiltshire.
In the bath.
Not in the bath.
Where were you in a bath together?
That's disgusting. Everything you're saying is terrible.
Nobody wants to hear that story.
No, you insulted Rachel at the beginning. Now you've made me out to be a bath baby.
Yes, well, you are.
No, but this is a true story, and Eric will vouch for this. A few months ago, he was very proud that he got his new phone. I can't remember what it is now, but one of those like phones that's like a computer.
Mm.
What's it called?
A phone.
Nokia, isn't it?
Yeah.
A Nokia thing. I've got one as well.
Mm.
So, right, he's showing off like he always does, inevitably. Whenever you meet him, he is showing off. Just showing off, saying, look at this. This is the most incredible phone ever invented in the world, and I've got the first one. Nobody's got one of these. Not even Richard Branson's got one of these. It's a false architect. It's just unbelievable. And he says to me, here, you take a photograph of me and Tommy Walsh, who was a celebrity who we were with at the time. People might have heard of him, celebrity builder. So he gives me his brand new phone to take a photograph of him with the celebrity.
Yes.
Because he's bored this celebrity to death about this bloody blinking phone. Right? And so I stand out and I'm looking at it. I think, well, what do I do with it? He says, just point, press the back of it. Like that. So I went stab with my finger like that, and his brand new camera flew out of my hand right across the room. I have never seen him look so
angry lady detective, shocked and devastated all in one moment. And then that survived as well.
Less angry if he had dropped his baby.
Well, this is true. But it did, bounce very well. It has to be said, it did survive. Allegedly.
It's amazing how they can.
Oh, but it told me off. It told me off in front of this celebrity.
He scold you.
You stupid boy, he said.
Yeah, well, Tommy Walsh was laughing his socks off as well. Well, you got to admit, it certainly brightened up that room, which was a bit quiet.
Yeah.
It was. Anyway, the coolest brand in the UK could be facing a bit of heat soon because that which has been voted the cool brand, Apple, seems to have lost its PR value a little bit this week. Because not only did they launch this phone, but they also launched a new operating system.
Yeah, well, I can't actually get mine to work because I apparently don't have enough memory.
True, but you don't, it breaks, you don't want it.
Well, I didn't bother. I thought, well, the other one works fine anyway. I did put it on my iPad, and quite honestly, I can't tell the difference.
Mm. Well, the truth is, you don't want it, because oodles of people downloaded this new software onto their all-singing, all-dancing, never-does-anything-wrong iPhone,
yeah,
and they couldn't make phone calls on the phone after they'd downloaded it.
Why?
It wouldn't matter. That's why I do it on my iPad, because I don't need to make phone calls from there, but I do.
What's
but no, you go into your, I go into my settings. It says go into your settings, right?
Mm, yeah.
And then it says go into your software updates, and it says checking for updates, and it says this update cannot be installed because it requires at least 5.8 gigabytes of storage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the iOS 8.0 is a 1.1 gigabyte application. So I'm like, but hang on a minute, this is a brand new phone, I've got hardly anything on it.
Yeah.
It's like, what do I get rid of? All the stuff that they put in there to begin with? I know what I should start with. Do you know what I should start with if I want to get rid of stuff?
What?
That's a really interesting
This album
point,
of U2s that they gave me that I didn't ask for.
Exactly.
Yeah, get rid of that.
Yeah, get rid of that.
No, but seriously, what? I have exactly the same problem with my phone. It won't allow me to do upgrades and even take photographs now, because it says it doesn't have enough memory and I have to get rid of stuff that's on there. And I'd be looking at the thing and think, well, should I get rid of all the things that they put on that phone when they gave it to me?
Have you got audio and video recordings on there?
Not many.
Have you got them on there?
Not many.
Because you'd be amazed how much memory they take, Lee.
They take heaps.
Oh, right. Just like a little film of your peccadilloes and things like... Not your peccadilloes, somebody else's peccadilloes.
Yes.
An unnamed soul's peccadilloes.
Lee, one of
them.
Lee,
you need to
Lee.
Yes. Them on your, you need to put them on your iPad or something.
Let me help you out a little bit.
You know
that telescopic stand that you bought off the interweb that you put your phone in and sort of have it above your bed? It's just in case anybody rings. Well, if you start videoing from there and forget to turn it off, it'll eat your memory.
It's not only my memory that's getting eaten, though, is it?
No.
Oh, no.
Anyway, boys and girls.
Is that what it is, then?
Yeah. The iOS new update doesn't work. And then it gets better because some bloke puts the phone in his pocket, takes it out, and it's gone a funny shape.
This is the bendy phone again.
Yeah.
Yuri Geller is now promoting it.
It's, no, you guys, it will bend to the shape of your buttocks.
Yes.
But, I mean, there's a good lesson in this for everybody. Don't put
a big
phone in your pocket. It's
don't have big buttocks.
Don't have a big buttocks.
Ah, right.
It will dent your phone.
So what we're basically saying is the undamageable, perfect, never has a problem phone, I'm not going to plug it anymore, that everybody, iSheep anoraks love.
Yeah.
Is actually human. It can go wrong.
Ooh.
Well, I'm not the least bit interested in getting one of those. Mine's the model before that, and I'm happy with that.
I think it's quite interesting that finally the telephone world has basically eaten itself, hasn't it?
I like it. Anyway, bad news for you, Lee.
I know. No, well, I don't think... I can't see why this is bad news. I know you said it was, but I can't see why it's bad
this
news.
This is bad news for you because thousands of pubs, bars and restaurants have...
Well, put the prices down.
Put the prices down. Unfortunately, it's before you go back to England. They're only doing it for a day. Yeah. Now,
what are they doing that for?
Well, what they're trying to prove is that the amount of taxable, which they call VAT, value-added tax, that's generated by the entertainment industry, the leisure industry, is massive. So by everybody dropping their prices for a day, they're going to hurt governments with it. Yeah. But, of course, the bad news for Lee is it includes the UK.
Yeah.
France.
Germany. Belgium. Fatland.
And Finland. And what's missing?
Spain.
Correct, Amondo.
Well, everything's so cheap here anyway, it doesn't really matter.
If they dropped it, it'd be free.
Yeah, but you think about it, a pint of beer going down by 8 English pus is quite a lot.
Well, that's 48 Australian dollars, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, but it's like, if you think, you know, this is pretty disgusting, actually.
Why?
In many, many ways. Well, historically, it's disgusting, because basically food and drink are the basics of life, along with heating and a roof over your head. Mm. And the basics of life. Why would any government think that they should charge an extra 7.5% on top of the price of the basics of life anyway? And actually, what these people are doing is a really good thing to try and prove that we can actually return the basics of life to something which becomes affordable to man and woman, child and dog and cat.
I know children and dogs don't drink beer.
No.
So...
No, that argument's blown.
And if they do, they just shouldn't.
Blown. They don't, but they drink soft drinks, and it's, you've got stuff on that as well. You've got fat on that. You've got fat on clothes. You see, basically, what is inherently wrong with this world is the fact that the government wants to tax everything and take money off everything. Mm. And we need food to live, and we need clothes to wear so we don't get arrested. We need a roof over our heads so that we don't get wet in the rain. We need to stay warm. And yet the government taxes those very basics of life. I think whoever it is who set this up, Jacques Burrell, the man behind the campaign, is an absolute hero.
Bless him. Trouble is, Lee, it won't apply to you. Never mind. Anyway, we're going to the gallows now, boys and girls.
And so
dear,
short.
We're going
We're going to the gallows because a major gaffe was done by Mr. Cameron.
Yeah.
And I think it's time for Off With His Head!
Well, Off With His Head for just being Prime Minister, really.
Stop
it. Oh, no, that's... Yeah.
Now, it beggars belief, this, because the amount of times that British senior politicians, or for that matter, Prime Ministers, in recent years, have not tumbled the fact there's a microphone. And when there's microphones, people hear things.
Yep.
Yeah, I think there is something a little bit more, not sinister behind this. I think it would be unfair to say it was sinister, but I think there was something a little bit more egotistical about this.
There he was showing off, wasn't he?
Absolutely, he was showing off.
Can we go back a step and just tell me exactly what he did?
Well, what he did is there is this agreement between the head of the government, with the Prime Minister in England, and the Queen or the royal family, that their conversations should always remain as secrets, because then that means that the Queen can share her private thoughts as the Prime Minister can share his private thoughts with the two major powers in this country. And what's happened here is David Cameron, our erstwhile Prime Minister, who doesn't deserve the fate we said, actually thinking about it, has actually betrayed that fundamental part of the British Constitution. Mm. And from what it appears he's not, because what he did, Rachel, he said that when he phoned the Queen to tell her that Scotland had lost the vote, that the Queen actually was so excited and pleased that she was purring down the phone to him. Well, I don't think that our Queen would purr.
No. I don't think she would either. She doesn't strike me as a purring kind of lady. Do you know what else baffles me about this? Why was he talking to Bloomberg about it?
Well, there's the rub.
Yes.
And that's where he was showing off, where the general consensus is that he was showing off.
Yeah, but the thing is, they forget, Lee, that although Mike Bloomberg was the mayor of New York, prior to that, he was a hard-nosed journalist, for goodness sake.
Well, yeah, exactly. And so this is just faux pas after faux pas on part of our Prime Minister, who's becoming more and more like Tony Blair every day that he's left in power. He's making
mistakes. You know what he's become to us far away? He's become a caricature of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of get that.
It gets kind of, when we watch it from far away, it gets more and more hilarious the more you watch it. Do you know whenever he's on television, do you know what I hear in my head?
What?
The Benny Hill theme.
Well, anyway, Rachel, you're going to laugh even more now.
Oh, look, yes,
because,
probably.
Because the man who's the other side of the chamber in the British Parliament, who's the leader of the opposition, he makes gaffe number two this week.
Bless.
Ed Miliband this time. He's been criticised by all sorts. In fact, I've got another little bit that nobody noticed there. Because he forgot to talk about the financial deficit during his speech to his faithful people who go to his conference. He didn't mention the fact that this was not, you know, it was nothing important there. And he said, I take bits of the speech, I memorise it after I've written it, and then I add bits in, take bits out, and I'm thinking to myself, hang on a minute, Mr. Miliband, the most important thing to the UK, and probably to most countries in the world, is the economy.
Right.
So, hang on a minute.
To mention that.
Let's just have a moratorium on the economy then. Marvellous. and then I swear, I did not hear him say the right words. At the end of this interview, he was talking about the United Kingdom. Now, my reckoning, unless it's changed, there are four countries in the United Kingdom.
Yes.
Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales and England. At the end of the thing, he was talking about the United Kingdom, and he said Scotland, Wales and England. And stopped. So is Mr. Miliband's theory that if he flogs off Northern Ireland, he can get rid of the deficit?
I think he does.
He's Ed Miliband. You see, I'd like to know who broke his nose, to be honest. I would. I'd love to know and shake him by the hand.
And who was that idiot CNN...
Cameron, when he slipped on a banana peel.
And who was the idiot who gave him the CNN smile?
Well, exactly. But the simple fact is, in a way, I think that Ed Miliband didn't make a mistake by not mentioning the deficit at all, because at least he was straightforward and honest about it and didn't make up some scandalously ridiculous, outrageous plan that would never work and tell the country all about it.
Well, there is that to it. He just missed it completely.
Yeah, exactly. But the other thing is, you've got to take this. This is Ed Miliband. What is wrong with our politicians? Isn't it finally time that we decide and we accept that we live under a 5-year dictatorship in this country, and we're run by idiots who adopt names like Ed Balls and things like that? And it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. This Miliband, what is a Miliband? Is that like a marching band with millions of people in it? It says that how he will save the NHS is by putting a mansion tax on houses over £2 million.
Ridiculous.
Well, that means that everybody in London virtually will be paying out an astronomically ridiculous amount of money to live there. He'll close down London. The man's an idiot.
I gather you're not on his Christmas card list, then?
I don't think he likes me, actually.
And reciprocally.
as well. And the other stupidity of that is, just by pouring money at the NHS isn't going to work. Because what the NHS needs first is a kick up the backside to get rid of
reforming.
Yeah, it needs to get rid of all the paper pushers, put it onto a decent electronic system, and you'd save loads of money so you could have more nurses anyway, because you wouldn't need all the administrators. But you can't do that because it'd never be allowed.
And one simple fact that the NHS has to do to make things work better, that's stop killing your patients.
Correct. Final story in the first box. We nearly ran out of time already. Blimey. I am so annoyed about this story, you wouldn't believe it. It's this personage, Ibrahim Kamara. He goes out to the Middle East to fight for this... I struggle to call it an Islamic state, because actually by doing it, it's a contradiction in terms, because Islam is actually a very caring kind of religion, not a murderous religion, which is what they're doing. So, you know, the whole thing's wrong for me. But anyway, he goes out, he's a 19-year-old, he's grown up enough, and he's gone out to fight with this lot.
Yeah.
Right? The mum has said... it's the fault of the border control for people for letting him go.
I think you can put this down to a bit of sort of being a bit distraught at the fact our son's just been killed, though, at 19 years old, and that people do tend to attack anything they can to explain.
Yeah, but, you know, you need to think a bit about this, because these jihadists, they are going out and doing nasty things. Mm. If her son has got that far out of control, how and when did he get out of control?
It is a strange thing, but, you know, we've talked about this before, and if you think, like, in the Spanish Civil War and things like that, young men, English men, used to go out there and fight for that. I don't think that there is this major disaffection in England of the youth, particularly the Islamic youth over here. I think you just get idiots who think it's exciting and dramatic, and they'll be seen as heroes by the friends, and they go out and do something ridiculous.
Well,
like
also, there's a pretty aggressive online recruitment with these guys as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's what's happening here in Australia at the moment.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.